Good afternoon and welcome to Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G. If you're listening for the first time, I am a radio talk show host, TV personality, coach, author, speaker, magazine publisher, founder of Nothing But Good News Media, and the originator of the Vision Program, specializing in developing sustainable, long-term visions to transform companies and individuals from the inside out, yielding extraordinary results. So excited about today's show. Really, really, really excited. Now, before we get to today's guests, I want to share a G-note with you. And what is a G-note? Well, I call it a daily gift to guide you to greatness. It's a little bit of inspiration, motivation I drop in your email box every single day. And today's G-note simply reads, "Dear friend, I don't believe in miracles. I rely on them." That'll take us right to today's guest. I'm so excited to have here today golf professional Charlotte McGinnis, together with humorist and media veteran Gene Bogart, swing an outstanding hole-in-one by using golf as a metaphor for life. They take the original teachings of A Course in Miracles and blend them with golf terms and strategies, creating humorous and inspiring metaphors for dealing with all of life's challenges, on or off the golf course. How much fun are we going to have today? So what I'd like to do, with no further ado, welcome Charlotte and Gene to Nothing But Good News Radio.
Hi, Candy G.
Hi, Candy. So, Thank you for having us on.
Oh, I'm so excited. Are you kidding? I mean, this will be so much fun. Get ready for an amazing, amazing hour. So where do I start? I mean, where do I start? There's so much happy goodness.
I feel better already, Candy.
You've made me feel wonderful. I'm already feeling better than I was 5 minutes ago, so thank you.
You're welcome. Gene, you started to say what?
I was going to say, I assume then I'm not here to talk about Ben Bernanke's reaction to the international monetary crisis.
Oh, please.
Come on,
but I have to tell you. No, I have to tell you. I am on the biz. I love my network. I love this network because it's all business, and they want me here. It's like, please, please, they want me here as much as they can have me on this station, and I love them for that. And so you know what? We have to balance all of life's stuff, don't we?
Yeah.
You must have a metaphor for that.
Well, you reminded me wait a minute, I just lost her name now. Who is it? They like me. They really like Sally Field. They really want me here. I have to tell you what is brilliant when you came in with the G note, and first of all, being named Gene, I'm stealing that from you, but I'll just borrow it now and then. But then you had one on miracles today, which is great, and so right in line with Charlotte and I. So that's it's more than cosmic.
It's more than cosmic. You know, today has been the kind of day, and it's one of those days for me where every time I thought about a person that I needed to call, the phone rang. And this happened all day long, and even down to I'm leaving town tomorrow. I'm going to Vegas. Oh, you'll hear about this. Big movie premiere Sunday. Oh, I've got a big movie premiere. It's very exciting. But I texted my secretary and I said, I need you to make sure you have my reservation number for me for when I get to the hotel tomorrow. And then I heard a ding on my phone and I checked my email and it was someone else sending me the reservation number. So I'm saying is today has been an absolute day filled with miracles. So having you here today is perfect.
Perfect.
Oh, sounds good.
Let's talk about what you call a miracle.
Well, Gene, do you want me to tackle that one?
Well, let me just preface one thing, and then I'll turn it over to Charlotte, who I'm sure will apply miracles to golf in a way that only she can. And so you'll know, and we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, too, that our book, we use golf as a metaphor for all of life's challenges. So we always say the book is certainly not for golfers only. There's many golf references. Having a golf pro as a co-author is a wonderful blessing, and Charlotte particularly brings some great stuff in that way. But we also show how, you know, the challenges of golf are really no different than the challenges we run into in everyday life. So what I would say on the miracle, from a strictly Course in Miracles perspective, the miracle is not something that happens in the physical world. It's not the parting of the Red Sea or the cure of the terminal illness or the financial windfall that comes in just when you need it. Those are wonderful things. But the real miracle, as the Course describes it, is the shift in perception, the change of mind. When you go from a mindset of worry and stress and fear, and then you can transcend that and go to a mindset of peace and total joy, no matter what the circumstance, that is the real miracle. Now, that doesn't discount the fact that we have, Charlotte and I tend to call them earthly miracles. They're technically not miracles, but there are those wonderful transformations that do happen in the physical world. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great, and we all want that to happen. But our real goal, ultimately, would to be at peace no matter what happens. So, you know, if you're waiting for the financial windfall and then you go broke, you can still be at peace in that moment, and that is truly a miracle. That's certainly true on the golf course. You get a hole-in-one, it's great. You shank the ball. Are you still at peace? Can you still be joyful about that? I think Charlotte's the one who can really tell us about that part of it.
Well, you know, Gene, you did a beautiful job describing the course's definition of a miracle, which I think is really the whole idea and the goal of our book, A Golf Course in Miracles, because we're both longtime students and teachers of A Course in Miracles, and then I have a 30-plus year career as a golf pro, so integrating the two was a lot of fun, to really help people know that regardless, let's just use golf as an example, and we're using golf as a metaphor for life, but regardless of what's happening on the golf course, or in your daily living, if it's home with the kids or at work or family issues, whatever it is, that peace is always an option. So really, we give everything all the meaning it has. So what I really recommend in the book is, from a Course in Miracles perspective, and actually even from a psychotherapy perspective, you know, peace is really nothing more than a decision to think about something differently. Mm-hmm. So if it's a missed golf shot, I have a choice to say, oh, isn't that interesting? Or I can slam my club in the ground and get upset. Same thing holds true with, oh, I lost $50,000 in the stock market. I can be upset, or I can say, well, isn't that interesting? So peace is always a choice, and when we really get, this is described as a course in, you know, really practicing, you know, what we, you know, what the course tells us to do, and the more we practice, the easier it becomes. So I'm not a victim of external circumstances, and I can be happy in the midst of anything, and that is possible. I know it from experience. I haven't said I've mastered it, but I certainly know it to be possible.
You know, and I have to agree with you in the biggest way, but I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk some more about this and how amazing this thought process is, and some great tips and tools from Charlotte McGinnis and Gene Bogart. A golf course in miracles. I'll get it by the end of the hour. Hey, we're going to head off to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is the Wall Street Business Network.
South Florida's only business radio station, 880 AM, The Biz.
Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. Now, before we get back to our guests, I have a special message for you from, well, me. A very happy birthday shout out to Liz Sterling today. Liz, I know you're listening, or at least I hope you are. You can celebrate later. Happy birthday to you, my friend. And back to our very, very, very special guest today, and talk about how peace and happiness is really a choice. You know, what's interesting is I had a situation yesterday where I needed to rent something from a rental place and called and talked to a person. The most amazing person got on the phone, and she was just talking to me, and she was so happy and so delightful, and talked about how she'd been working at this place for 35 years, and it was her choice to just be the happiest, best person she could be on the phone. I will tell you that I was so taken by her choice to be happy that I sent her flowers.
Wow.
Because, you know, the thing is you can choose to sit there and say, okay, this is what I do every day. Or you can go, hey, how can I, you know, what can I do for you today? And she laughed and she teased with me. And she was the most amazing, wonderful person. And Teresa, I hope you're listening, and I hope you know what it means to make happiness as a choice. So how can we help folks choose peace and happiness and have that be a bigger part of their everyday?
Well, you know, one thing, Candy, that, you know, that is such a wonderful story. I'm just really loving listening to you, and many congratulations on your film. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, you know, I was just thinking about one thing as you were talking about this, that, you know, this gal was so helpful and positive and upbeat. Well, there's a teaching from A Course in Miracles that says, I am among the ministers of God. And the Course basically teaches, who is a teacher of God? And the answer is, anyone who chooses to be one. So what it's really asking us, you know, whether it be on the golf course, you know, I always have to bring it back to golf, but being the golf course or in life or anywhere in that we may encounter, that, you know, we can choose to step up and be fully present. And so, you know, we're really at a place where every moment, every thought we think, we have a choice either to respond in love or fear. The Course in Miracles and our book also states that as being the ego mind or the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit, his goal, her goal, is always to bring joy, peace, union, happiness, and obviously that's what your friend yesterday was doing. That's what you do. The ego's job is to continually perpetuate drama, fear, negativity. Oh, ain't it awful? Oh, I'm a victim of the world. So you can even feel the difference in the energy that comes from that mindset. So really, the more we practice the principles taught here, the more we choose love over fear, the happier we become. And we realize that we're in a symphony of you know, oneness with everyone on the planet, and you can really have full appreciation and love for everybody. And so you do get in that spirit of wanting to serve and connect, because you realize that they're an extension of you. So it's a whole different mindset, but when we get there, it's wonderful. So how would I say we get there? It's just making the decision that that's what you would like in your life, and to do whatever it takes to get there. So practice, 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 the same way you get to Carnegie Hall.
I love that. I love that that piece of making the decision to get there. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that have never heard of Course in Miracles, and they're listening. They're starting their drive home, and they're listening, and they're going, all right, you've referenced A Course in Miracles a couple of times now. What is it? Who would like to explain what A Course in Miracles is?
Well, probably I think Charlotte has actually been involved longer than I have with A Course in Miracles. And as I tell people, and I mentioned in our book, it was actually Charlotte who really, in any significant way, introduced me to A Course in Miracles, which is going back about 20 years ago. So that's another debt of gratitude I owe my dear friend Charlotte. But yeah, that was really when I had heard of it, but not really gotten into it. I would say, and I think we would both say, it's really kind of it's more of a spiritual philosophy, certainly not a religion. There's no church involved. There's no organization, no church or synagogue or mosque. There's no central type organization, nor need there be. It's really a self-study course that can be shared with others, but it's something you can just do on your own. It's essentially a book with lots of really, really valuable information in it. So it's been described as a spiritual psychotherapy. In a sense, it's helping us to heal and give that therapy to our psyche to really bring our spirit into alignment with what we really are. I'll let Charlotte talk a little more about the history of it if you girls want to, if you ladies both want to. Forgive me, being as old as I am, everybody's girls to me. but the one thing is that I think is important to let people know, because you can get the impression, or some cynics might say, oh, this is all that sweetness and light and everything is peace and joy. Well, what about when lousy things happen? Well, it doesn't imply that, and neither Charlotte nor I, nor I think anyone else, is ever saying, we have mastered this, we're these gurus, you know, who sit preaching what should be done from a place of perfection. That is certainly not the case. It's always, as we said, a choice. Crappy things still happen, quite honestly. People, you know, a loved one becomes ill. How do you know, that's not a joyous thing. A car accident, a financial meltdown, a health crisis for yourself, whatever it may be, people are going to say, I can't be joyous about that. Well, no, not, and certainly not initially. But again, that's where the choice comes in. And the Course has a great phrase where it tells us, when we're in that type of a crisis mindset, the answer is always choose again. We have to realize that when something lousy happens to us, we are choosing to feel as we do. We're choosing to feel stressed or you know, in fear or in pain. We're actually choosing those things. So we can choose again, and we can choose a more peaceful outcome. So it's not to say that it's easy and it's not automatic, but you get there, and over time, it honestly does become easier and more natural because you start to realize the other negative feelings don't serve me. They don't make me better. They don't make me perform better on the golf course, in a business meeting, on a personal relationship situation. It doesn't matter. You never do better when you're under stress. You always do better when you're in the zone, when you're in that place of peace. Everything is just flowing. You're just in, you know, that, what are, there's another name for this, when you're just, again, in that zone where everything is a flow and there's no barriers and you're not running into obstacles with it. You're just at your best, peak performance, you know. So that's the thing. It's not meant to imply that, you know, to be perfect, this is how you do it. These are tools. Excuse me. And one thing we always emphasize is that the course is ultimately, and our book is ultimately meant to be practical. It's actual solutions you can apply in your daily life. You can apply it when things are lousy, and you can apply it when things are good and make them even better. And that's true on the golf course or in any other place we seem to find, even in radio studios, Candy G. So,
and you know, it's the truth. You know, it's interesting. You talked about the gurus and being from their place of perfection. And one of the things that Charlotte said earlier when she talked about one of the things in the Course of Miracles talked about, I personally think the perfection comes from that everyday person, like sweet Teresa yesterday, who's doing her life and doing it out of choice of happiness. I'm yeah. among the ministers of God. And I think that's personally to me, and that's my opinion and my and the way I see things, is that that's where the real perfection lives.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting. I love your book. It is so much fun. And you talk about, you know, there's so much people talk about foundations for inner peace. And you're talking about foundation for inner par. And I think the golfers that are out there listening would have absolutely the most fun with this book. As a matter of fact, I know quite a few golfers, and I'm going to have to get several copies of this before Christmas. I'm just letting you know
okay.
that I have to have it. This is the ideal Christmas gift, and we'll let folks know how to find it. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, I just let's say I just open up to a page, and it opened up to my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. And your correlating chapter or conversation is my mind is preoccupied with past strokes. Tell me how those compare, because I get it. I'm getting there without even reading on. Yeah. I go, I get it.
Well, you know, Candy, I have to give Gene the credit. He really was the creative mind behind, you know, creating these titles based on, you know, bringing it into golf. And this whole book just came out of a giggly conversation a few years ago on the phone. He went to my website and said, what, you have a Zen golf center? He said, that's great. What is it? And then he starts throwing out these titles, and voila, a few years later we have the book. But, you know, what that particular chapter, my mind is preoccupied with past thoughts or past strokes. The actual Course of Miracles, obviously, is the past thoughts. And, you know, to be in the zone.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention to the time here. I'm so engrossed.
Okay.
Hold that thought, because we're heading to another commercial break. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. Hey, stick with us, because the most fun is right here today. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. And there is a whole lot of happy goodness going on here today. We are talking about a golf course in miracles, and you can go to agolfcourseinmiracles.com. I'll make sure that you get that website over and over again, because this is an amazing conversation and an amazing book. And Charlotte, before we went to break, you were talking about the correlation between that particular chapter that you wrote in A Golf Course in Miracles, you and Gene, and A Course in Miracles.
Right. Well, the Course in Miracles says, I am preoccupied with past thoughts. And the title for our book is, I am preoccupied with past strokes. Both really having the same meaning. And when I say that, from a Course in Miracles perspective, it says that, you know, what keeps me from being fully present, fully in my potential, fully in the zone right now, is that I'm bringing that big weight of the past, all those belief systems and all those ideas and all those thoughts into this moment. So I have, I don't have a clear picture. I don't have a clear focus. I'm not in the zone because I'm basing this moment on the past. Well, same thing on the golf course is that, you know, many, if golfers are out there listening, an example would be if you're teeing off on a certain hole and the day before you played that same hole, you may have hit an errant shot into the woods. Well, all of a sudden, you know, most likely, very commonly, you're on that tee, and where does your mind go? Oh, my gosh, yesterday when I played this hole, my shot went into the woods. And so if you're not aware, what happens is you're going to focus on that thought. You're going to get anxiety about that shot that you hit in poorly the day before, and your body's going to tighten up, and you're going to feed that energy to that thought, and guess what? You're going to manifest the same thought, shot you hit the day before. Well, same thing happens in day-to-day life. You know, we're so basing our decisions and opinions on things that are done. I love a quote from The Course in Miracles that says, all your past except its beauty is gone, and all that remains is a blessing. So really it's about being willing to let go of all past thoughts that don't serve and bringing the thoughts of joy and peace into this moment and being able to encapsulate all of that and take it to that shot that you're envisioning. So now I'm standing on the tee, and I don't have any remembrance of yesterday's shot. I'm fully focused and given my attention on what I do want, not what I don't want. So that can be a metaphor for life. But, you know, we do the course you were asking earlier, the course is really described as a course in mind training, and it's just the course says we have to be vigilant, you know, to think properly. So the more we focus on good or God or whatever, peace, love, the more that we're going to experience. So it's just like going to the gym. The more you work out at the gym, so I hear, the better your body. you are paying attention. The more you know, you work out, you know, the better your body reflects that. Same thing with our consciousness. So we really have to pay attention.
Do you know, I've been studying thought transformation for 35 years, and what I know to be true, and all of the great success that I've had in my life, all of the things that I've been able to do, I mean, and you heard all of the things that are going on in my, you know, earlier. A short 19 years ago, I was a broke, homeless, single mother. And for folks that have heard my story and know and understand, taking these things and applying and focusing forward instead of backwards, as simplistic as that sounds, is an extraordinary way to begin to create the things that you want. So I'm just sitting here just loving your conversation because everything you hit on says, yes, yes, go, yes, share. It's awesome. I'm so excited with what you're bringing to this listening audience. And again, I have your book in my hand. But there's one thing that has – there's one page I opened to that has me a little perplexed, Gene.
Only one?
Charlotte. Well – okay, because you have to help me with this one. Okay.
Which page?
Okay, page 159. There is no green my mashy niblick cannot reach.
We had to throw something in just for laughs, and but you know, and
it
was so odd when these titles, and I can't take credit for it. I appreciate Charlotte saying that I came up with them, but it was really, you know, how when you're at your, I think, at your most creative moments as a writer, a musician, actor, whatever it might be, you don't think about it. It just flows. It comes like, you know, people have said, you know, they've written stuff that they don't even know where it came from. It just started flowing out, and I got these great lyrics. You know, now, you know, we play a part, and we play a role in that process, but I think we often have to say, look, I'm not going to personally take the pride, the hubris, you know, to take credit when it just came through me, not from me. So these titles really just started popping up, and they were, you know, in a hopefully very good-natured way, little parodies on the teachings of the Course. So
right.
This one that you're mentioning is, and we call our chapters are referred to as holes. So it's like you're playing the course. So you're
got
in
it.
Case, and so and the golfers are out there saying, how can you be on hole 24 when you only play 18 holes of golf? Well, My partner is a golf pro, and she has assured me there are 27-hole golf courses. But what they do is they have three groups of nine, so you only play two of them on any given day. So you always play 18 holes, but you have 27 to choose from out of those three groups of nine. See how nice that works? So that's what we did. Our hole 24 is based on the Course in Miracles teaching, there's nothing my holiness cannot do, which, and again, you know, I think it's important to let people in general know, this is not a religion, it's not really a religious thing, it certainly is dealing with spirit, but in a very non-selective kind of way. So I wouldn't want anybody to be put off by the use of the word God or holiness or things like that. It's not really referring to any particular religious interpretation of those concepts. It's really very, very general and very applicable to everyone. So we have, instead of there is nothing my holiness cannot do, there is no green my Mashi Niblick cannot reach. Well,
could you explain Mashi Niblick, please?
Sure. The Mashi Niblick, before golf clubs had numbers, like now, you know, you have a, you know, you're taking your driver. Well, there are some names like driver and wedge, but then it's a, you know, a 5-iron or a 7-iron, that kind of thing. Well, in the ancient days, back in bunny old Scotland, they were playing golf and they didn't have numbers on their clubs. They gave them names. And they had a couple of, and I don't know what they mean, but there was a club they referred to as a niblick, and there were a couple of variations of that, one of which was known as the Mashi Niblick. And I said, that has to be the funniest name for anything I've ever heard.
So this came through you. No, I'm sorry. It's so funny. I think it's great. It's so much fun. Thank you.
But we pick that just as what we do is we explain, and Charlotte tells a wonderful anecdote in her part of the writing for this chapter, this whole, that, you know, it's roughly the equivalent of a modern 7-iron, somewhere around there in terms of the equivalent golf club. And she tells a great story about when she was young, having that club that was like her favorite club. That was the one that she could do no wrong with, you know, in almost any questionable circumstance, I'll go for my 7-iron. So that was her Mashi Niblick. So the Mashi Niblick becomes a symbol for something tried and true, something that's always there for you, that always gets the job done. So, you know, I need to get to that green, and it's a tough shot, and this, I'm going to grab the Mashi Niblick. That's my touchstone. So that's the metaphor for, like, our holiness, the inherent nature of what we are. That we're not these evil, meat-based creatures walking around a planet. We're actually spiritual beings. We're, you know, we mentioned, as Yoda said, you know, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. So, you know, we have this inherent holiness in us, and there's nothing that cannot do. There's no problem that cannot solve. So it's very similar to there being no goal on the golf course that the Mashi Niblick cannot reach. So that's kind of the metaphor we developed in this chapter.
You know, so much fun. And I have to tell you, I'm not a golfer. I've never had that desire to learn how to golf. But honestly, talking to the two of you, I'm like, all right, maybe I should check this thing out. It's amazing.
Oh, that's
it's
wonderful.
It's a wonderful game. And, you know, it really captured my heart when I was only 7 years old. It just really was magical for me. And the golf courses are... There's no place more beautiful on the earth than golf courses, and they vary in terrain. Every which one is different, and it's just a wonderful game. And you know, when you get out there, it's like the world around you just disappears, and you just are surrounded by peace and beauty. So I would recommend you give it a shot.
Hi, there you go. Pretty exciting. Why did you create this book?
Well, you know,
what's the intention? What's the goal?
Yeah. Well, the goal is really, you know, I had taught, well, I still teach golf, and I've taught golf since about 1980. And before that, I played professionally, and I've played professionally a number of years besides that. But that being said, as a teacher and a player, I always knew the value of being able to manage emotional intelligence or being able to manage my emotions. I knew when I was sunk, as soon as my emotions went down, you know, in a negative way, as soon as I got angry, nothing good was going to come after that. So I had to be able to breathe and do exercises to pull it back in. Well, same thing for my golf students. And I've taught literally, gosh, tens of thousands of people, or hundreds, I don't even know, many over the years.
Lots.
A lot. And, you know, what you find that people who play golf the typical golfer is type A personality. Because when you think about it, golf is not an expensive game to play. The equipment's expensive, green fees and club memberships, all these things are very expensive. And then you take lessons, and, well, you got the point. So that being said, most of the people who show up on my lesson tee have been very successful in the material world. They've, you know, gathered lots of money, and they think that, okay, now I got all this money, and I'm going to play golf, and I'm going to take lessons. And it just beat the dickens out of some of these people, because here they are, Wall Street leaders and people who have accumulated great success in their life, and this game just brought them to their knees. And so, you know, one reason I think I was so successful as a teacher is I was able to always keep them in a peaceful mode. I was able to really say, okay, well, you know, let's just learn not to get so upset over this and to find a way to bring them back to that place of peace. And I began to recognize that when I started teaching the Zen golf classes, which is an integrative mind-body-spirit approach to golf years ago, people from the course, and there was up to 200 people a shot coming to this, they would always come up and they'd say, oh, my gosh, Charlotte, every time I'm on the course, you're in my head. You know, all I think about is, oh, Charlotte says to breathe like this, or Charlotte says to focus like this, or to focus on what I want and what I don't want. And so I began to see that these people were, they were finding joy in the game. And then they were saying, well, you know what, this helped me with my daughter. I've had this, you know, so then they, you know, it's like the hairdresser, the students tell you everything. So when we came together, Gene and I, to do this, we began to take it, you know, this is a way to reach people in a lighthearted but serious way and help them to find more peace and joy on the golf course. But the lessons are the same. It doesn't matter if you're on the golf course or if you're in the business environment or in, you know, home with three kids. It's all the same. And learning how to manage your emotions and train yourself to be more at peace is that's our goal, to help people achieve more peace and joy in their life.
And I think, when your first question, you know, why did you write the book? There is no answer to that. It sort of started to write itself. It just, when the ideas started popping up, it was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And that was like, all right, we have to go. This is a book needing to be written here. It's calling for it. But then once we got started, then there was a purpose, as Charlotte just said, was to take these ideas, starting with a humorous takeoff on the actual concept from A Course in Miracles, making it our whimsical interpretation in A Golf Course in Miracles. But then it was so amazing the way very naturally the information just sort of flowed out of both of us. And most of we didn't collaborate word for word on our writing. Generally, Charlotte would write material and then I would write material.
I'm gonna cut you off right in the middle of this sentence, and I'm sorry for that. But I don't know if you can hear the music or not in the background, but that means we're going to break right now. And we're going to come right back to you, Gene. Nothing but Good News Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G, with special guests Charlotte McGinnis and Gene Bogart. Now imagine if you could command miracles instantly, not by twitching your nose or snapping your fingers. The miracles that abound are merely a thought away. That's right. And in this episode, my guests and I, well, they're really offering the perfect prescription for inner peace. And if you're a golfer, you're in luck, because birdies, eagles, and miracles on the green are as easy as 1, 2, 3. And Gene, before we went off to break, you were talking about how this book wrote itself and your intention with this incredible piece of work.
Well, actually, the kind of the framework, the title and the framework wrote themselves, and then after that, we had to put a little work into it. But the title actually came up. I happened to be looking at Charlotte's at that time. It was her newly revamped website I hadn't seen for a while. She said, "Oh yeah, check out my new site." And in it, even though she had used the term before, I hadn't seen it featured on the web, and I saw the Zen golf reference. I'm like, oh, that's just great. I said, this is going to be just perfect here, because, you know, Charlotte has a very, very thorough understanding of metaphysics, and she's a golf pro and teacher. I mean, Zen golf, what a great idea. And then it was all of a sudden, it just came out of nowhere, and it was like, a golf course in miracles. I said, oh, that's too cool. So I ran that by Charlotte. She said, oh, I love it. And then it sat there for a while. And then I got some ideas that just came to me, like the, as we said before, you know, my, well, one of the great ones, the teaching of the course is that my mind holds only what I think with God, which basically means that we have two ways of thinking. We think with our ego mind, which is ultimately not real. That's the illusory part of the mind that's based on fear, and that's where all of our feelings of stress and worry and anger and all that comes from. Then there's the real mind, which is the mind we share with God. That's our actual mind. That's where we truly live, and that's where loving thoughts originate and joy originates and peace in any circumstance. That's why we can always choose that part of the mind. So from my mind holds only what I think with God, our lesson title became, my drive holds only what I swing with God. So that, I was like, oh, that's both funny and meaningful. So I wrote that down, and then more started popping in, and they came out of nowhere. That's the part that wrote itself. Then Charlotte and I got together and said, let's, you know, and I think she was the one who said, yeah, let's do the book for this. You know, we've been chattering about it for a while. Let's really do it. I think, the framework is so good. Let's fill it in. So we started with that, and then at that point, yes, we had to make a little effort. But it was really, it just unfolded very naturally. As I said, Charlotte would write. I would respond with a writing that bounced off of what she said. And it was just amazing how it dovetailed very organically, again, without us really having to intend that. We didn't have to plan, okay, here's what we'll do. It just seemed to open up and flow that way. And now, you know, having read the book many, many times ourselves as we've gone through it for the editing process and making sure everything was just right, you really get, and I said, this material really works. It really holds together well. And I think we've hit that nice balance between it's funny, but it's for real. It's actual valuable information. It definitely has a golf flavor, but as you just said, Candy G, as a person who's, and I'm not much of a golfer. I used to play, but I really haven't played in years. But I'm knowledgeable about the game, but not any kind of a player. And then we're balanced by an actual golf pro. So I think it works for everybody, and I'm glad to hear that. For you to say, as a non-golfer, I found it interesting, and I sort of think, hey, it might be cool to do some golf.
Maybe I should check this out. Well, yeah. Honestly, since I love the term Mashy Niblick, I won't be able to use it unless I really play golf. And as right. I'm looking this and I'm writing this down, and I'm going Candy Golf, and I'm going Candy G. There's another G word,
another
golf.
Word.
There we go. I know. Hey, listen, I don't want to forget to mention, I believe you have a book signing coming up on the 7th?
Yes, we're very excited. I'm actually heading down to Florida. I live up here in Flat Rock, North Carolina, just south of Asheville, and driving down Monday, and looking forward to popping in at our friend Margaret Ann Limbo, her store, the Crystal Garden, which is in Boynton Beach, and would really love to see everyone there. We're going to have She's offering us this wonderful party for our book launch, but she's also got her holiday party joining us, and she's got hors d'oeuvres and 20% off everything in the store. And Jean and I will be signing books and doing little talks on the book, and really looking forward to seeing everybody. So all are welcome.
Do you have an address for the Crystal Garden?
I will in about 1 second here.
I bet one is just going to appear in my email box.
Yes,
I know. This is kind of the way it works.
Yeah, here we go. It's 2610 North Federal Highway, Boynton Beach, Florida. And they can actually go to my Facebook page. I've been posting it, Charlotte McGinnis, on Facebook, or you can actually go to thecrystalgarden.com, and you can find out all the info and all Margaret's other wonderful stuff. She's amazing.
And it's a great store, and she has an incredible tropical bird named Shanae, I've known Shanae for years, who actually does bird impressions. She'll tell her, okay, Shanae, what does an eagle go? And then Shanae will put her wings out like an eagle and make an eagle sound. And then what does a pigeon say? And it's incredible. I mean, the bird does impressions. So she'll take her to the Catskills. She'd kill in that room up there. Grossingers, they'd love her. So,
so if you don't want to come out for the book, come out for Shanae.
Yeah, Shanae will sign it. Yeah. So.
And I will tell you, I am back from Vegas on Tuesday evening. So there's a good chance you might just see me show up at the Crystal Garden.
Wonderful. Hey, I heard when you're in Vegas, you're going to be out there with Dee Wallace. She'll be
absolutely.
Yeah, she's a friend of ours, so make sure you say hi. And
oh,
she
is
a
also,
wild woman. She really is.
Dee is also a great friend of mine, and
good.
We've done. Oh yeah, very fun. We actually became friends on the radio show. She first came as a guest, and we connected. And I've been out to spend time with her, and she's been down here. And we've spent time together, and so yeah, she's a doll. So I will mention to her that you said, "Hey, Dee," and you know what? She has a great message.
She
is a great part of this film. I mean, people know her. You know, people go, I know that name, Dee Wallace. She is 140 Hollywood films. She was the mother in the movie E.T.
Right.
She's done so much stuff. It's amazing. And she's not just an extraordinary talent. She's a very gifted healer and author and speaker. And so, yes, thank you for mentioning that. We're very happy to have her be part of that project. So, yes, in a big way.
Yes, she's amazing. I don't know her, unfortunately, but I know who she is, and I get her mailing. She is amazing. So enjoy that. I can't wait to see her movie.
We're heading off to our last commercial break. You always know the shows are good when the hour zips by. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. We'll be right back. 2 minutes. Hey there, you are right back at Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G, with guests Charlotte McGinnis, who is a world-class golfer, and Gene Bogart, who is a noted voiceover and recording artist, media personality, musician, and he is the co-author, along with Charlotte, of A Course in Miracles.
Whoa.
You know, we're to our last, A Golf Course in Miracles. Thank you.
We can't take
thank you. I forgot the G word.
That's right, the G word.
And so, we're our last segment, and we'll get in as much as we can in this time period. A quick how we can tell folks to let go of pressure, especially during this pressure cooker time of the year called the holidays.
Well, you know, it's something that I'll admit I'm working on every moment of every day. You know, it's I have a lot of plates spinning, and sometimes I notice that my level of peace is not where I'd like it to be. So number one is you recognize that, well, you know what, I'd like to choose peace instead of this. And so there's, you know, many exercises, many practices that you can do. You know, for some people, you know, I believe that people have to find their own way. But for me, going out for a walk in nature is always a good thing. Some people literally practicing meditation, listening to good music, just really, the teachings of Abraham Hicks, for example. I love what Abraham says, and The Course in Miracles really says the same thing, and so do we in our book. But Abraham, the way it's stated, when you're feeling stress and strain and upset, choose a better feeling thought. So, you know, if I'm upset, choose a thought that makes you feel good. Think of your child, your pet. A time that you were on a vacation that was wonderful. The Course in Miracles says, I must have decided wrongly, for I'm not at peace. So choose again. So I bet it says, it also goes on to say that we always are at choice. So number one, recognize I'm not at peace. Make a decision that you want to be at peace and make and change your state of mind, your state of consciousness. So there's many ways to do it, but it's just up to us to be the ones. We are responsible. That I don't have to let the world no longer has to be responding to me in any way, good or bad, or what I deem as good or bad, for me to be happy and at peace. And that's the most empowered and powerful place anyone can come from.
And you do hear a lot of critics will often say about this type of thought system in general. They'll say, oh, it's all about feeling good. It's just as long as it feels good. Well, you know, ultimately it kind of is all about feeling good. And I don't mean that in the real superficial way. But quite honestly, how does anybody want to feel when they do anything? Do you want to feel lousy about it, or do you want to feel good about it? So I don't mean it as a feel good, I'm putting air quotes around that. I don't mean it that way, but quite literally, we do want to feel good. Of course we do. We want to feel good about decisions we make, about the outcome of those decisions, whether they're financial or family related, you know, other aspects of business or life or golf or tennis or anything, or music, whatever it is we're doing, you know, we'd like to feel good about it. And as Charlotte just said, it's a choice we can always make, even in the difficult circumstances. And it doesn't mean we get to it immediately, but we remember to choose again. When something happens and somebody cuts you off in traffic and, oh, you're upset, but you can remember. And what is nice is it becomes more automatic the more you practice this. It's like any other skill. You get better when you do it more. And I can say, you know, I used to scream at people when I'm driving, you know, like, oh, get out of the way. You know, I always have a deadline to go, and the person in front of me apparently applying their makeup or playing a game on their cell phone is more important than driving. So it would get me a little bit overworked. But, and I'm not saying I don't still vent, but I don't harbor any anger about it. They're just people doing what they do. I've gotten to where that forgiveness, that letting go, is virtually automatic. And we can get to that place in everything. And it doesn't happen right away, but it does happen. And then we do feel better. And there's nothing wrong with feeling better, because that's what we'd want, wouldn't it? I mean, well, you know, quite honestly, what else would make practical sense? Why would someone do something in order to feel lousy about it? That would be totally counterproductive. So, of course, we do want to actually feel good about the choices we make. And that in and of itself is a choice, and we can always make that choice. And if we don't do it, we choose again.
There you go. Choose again. Charlotte, 4 minutes until we are absolutely off the air. What do you want to make sure the listening audience hears from you today? 90 seconds.
Well, I just would really like for everyone to know that that we are at choice of how we respond to every situation in our life, and that we can make decisions, make choices that literally can move us out of depression and sadness and into bliss and joy. So it's just a matter of us being willing to question our past thoughts and ideas about something, and being willing to allow the Holy Spirit, or if that's a frightening term for you, to allow your higher self or love to be your guide. And just be willing to be open to the possibility that life can be good, it can be joyful, it can be happy. And that's actually, I think, our Creator's will for us. But it's up to us to do the work, make the decisions and practice. So I want people to have happy golf games and happy lives, and I know it's possible.
And Jean, same question to you.
Well, you know, as my lovely wife Helen always says, I think this book, A Golf Course in Miracles, is something everyone should have. Now, true, she's a little biased in her opinion here, but I would agree with that. I think Charlotte and I both have always felt from the beginning, and now that the book is here in hand, we think this is really a book for everyone. It's certainly not for golfers only, but golfers are going to love it. It's certainly not only for people on a spiritual path. Those people, I think, will love it too. But I think, and from what we've heard from you not being a golfer and other people who said, you know, I don't know anything about the spirituality stuff, but I read your book. It was really interesting. It made me think about these things. I said I could see how I could apply that. So we think it offers a lot of practical advice. It's an easy read, really. It's pretty conversational. It's not like deep text. And as we've said, there's a little bit of humor in it. There's a few laugh-out-loud moments as well. So it's funny and lighthearted, and we hope very inspiring to people. So, yes, I encourage people to buy one. In fact, buy multiple copies. They make great holiday gifts.
No, it's perfect timing. And my Mashy Niblick says...
We got to get you a Mashy Niblick.
Oh, we have to have a Mashy. I have to have a Mashy Niblick. I'm telling you, I absolutely have to. says that this really is a great book. And I am not kidding. I'm sitting here, and it's funny because I know folks that are just such avid golfers, and they're like literally addicted to this game. And I've always kind of, in a way, made fun. No offense, but you know, kind of like, all right, I don't get it, rolling the little ball across the green thing. And now I'm going, seriously. And so for me to say, I can't wait to finish the rest of this book. It's going on the plane with me tomorrow.
Oh,
absolutely.
Great. That is
and
so nice.
Candy, that's
I'm serious.
You've had a shift in perception about golf. So there's.
I have. That's my miracle today. And I'm like, wow. Now I kind of get these folks a little better. And I'm not kidding. I got a host of those folks that I'm getting these books for. Absolutely. And so there's a good chance you're going to see me up there on Wednesday. And let's go ahead. And it's the Crystal Garden in Boynton.
Boynton Beach,
and that's 2610 North Federal Highway, thecrystalgarden.com. Oh, here comes that music. It means it's the end of our show. I love you guys. I'm just telling you, I think you're amazing.
Andy.
It's amazing what you've done here. Really, really, really great stuff. So thank you for being here on Nothing But Good News Radio. And to the listening audience, you know what I want you to do. Get on out there and live life like you mean it. Bye for now.